Good evening.
Hello, good evening.
You're the first to arrive.
Okay. Our company just left.
Well, I'm sorry they just left. So I'm sure you enjoy having them.
Yes, I did. Nice to see a human every once in a while.
Well, that's not a problem living in my building.
Oh, that's good.
They all have masks on. We're both quiet today.
Randall
has joined.
Good evening.
We will begin with the Sulam commentary on the Zohar from Parashat Vayera. We're going to start with Pasuk 236 after we say the L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud kudshah barichu ishkinte bibchilu urchimu udchilu udchilu urchimu le'achta l'shem yudhe bavavhe. The Yehuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael, Limud Torah Mitzvah, La Sof Torah Mitzvah, Vaihino am Adonai Eloheinu aleinu maasei adenu kurenei aleinu maasei adenu kurenei. Walinu verachatu raglaikem lavad ake Avraham elab kadmeta amar verachatu raglaikem ulvatar viechat. Bat lachem. Vigomer avalot amar. Suruna el bet avdechem velinu. Ulvatar virachatu. Raglechem vishkachem. Vahalachem. Lidarchechem. Begin de la ishte modun, beho bene nasha. The translation. The verse continues, and sheep and wash your head, and sleep and wash your feet. But Abraham did not do so. Rather, he said at first, wash your feet. And only later, and I will fetch a morsel of bread. Lot, however, said, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night. And then, and wash your feet, and you may rise up early and go your ways. And this was to prevent other people from knowing about them. If other people happened to know about them and approach them, they could claim that they had just arrived a short while ago, as they had not even washed their feet from the dust of the journey. My commentary. This pasuk is clear as written with Rabbi Ashlag's comments. Most people do not even notice the differences in the verses. If you do not notice, you won't ask the right questions. Questions, comments, thoughts.
Well, I think in Western culture, it would have been not recognizable, you know, that you'd wash your feet, that would be something you'd offer your guests first.
You wouldn't. But in the Mideast and in the desert, that's certainly something you do.
Right.
That's extremely traditional.
Mm-hmm. Well, in Israel today, when that was one of the first things we were told, to be hospitable to your guests and offer them water when they come in, you know, because it's so hot, and that's the tradition in Israel.
That you always, and throughout the Middle East.
Mm-hmm. Lot's really trying to cover his territory, isn't he?
He had a good teacher, didn't he?
Yeah. But saying wash your feet last, wouldn't any guest, I mean, we know those are angels, but if it would have been a human, would they have suspected something by him not offering to wash their feet first?
They would have suspected by him saying, turn in here, come in the back door. He wasn't telling them to come in the front.
But to tell them to sleep and then wash your feet, I mean, that's a long period of time between. I just think that a guest would have recognized that as suspicious. And of course, the angels, I'm sure, knew.
He was also so hoping he wouldn't have to feed them, save a few dollars on his food.
Well, that's true. Nothing about eating. And I guess to rise up early and go your ways is because maybe it's cooler in the morning to travel than later in the day.
Plus, he doesn't want people to see him.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you go on to the next verse, you'll get an additional support for what we've been saying.
Okay.
Verse 237. Vayomru lo ki barcho dalim v'gindekachawo avde orchin yalim taman lahawa barnash v'yichnosh lon dleveta v'yalda Amaru lo ki barcho nalin bachetiv vayiv tsar bameod vegomer. The translation. And they said, no, but we will abide in the street all night. Because that was the practice in these cities. Guests slept in the street because no person invited them to his house. And this is why they said, we will abide in the street. And then it is written, and he pressed upon them greatly. My commentary, the verse is clear as written with Rabbi Ashlag's comments. Why did he press them greatly? We learned above, Lot saw the light of the Shekhinah. Yet still, pressing upon them greatly doesn't make sense for someone who's living in that city. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, I think Lot didn't want them to be in the street because he knew what the people there were trying to do.
Yes, he did, and he would. So he was trying to protect them. And so we're getting these mixed messages, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
If you expect Lot not to be hospitable, or to be, even if he is superficially hospitable, you don't expect him to be truly meaning it. And yet the Zohar is coming and telling us, because of his selfish orientation and having seen the Shekhinah, seeing the light, and being trained by Avraham, he has come full circle. To me, it's confusing.
Well, it is. But I think you can see his motives, you know, come in and get out of the danger, but leave as quickly as you can.
Exactly true. That's the way it comes across.
Has joined.
This is the last verse of the section, so
okay.
Let's go to 238. I think it's the last. There might be one more, but
I have to turn the page. Let me see. Yes, it's the last one.
Verse 238. Tamenan tire shaluche Amai v'ki la sagai V'chad ela awa uma Damar tire chad v'hawa Le'apaka le'ya Lelot u'sha zava Leia bechad lemeiv pach bekarta ultavala ara Elohim ka ishtarchad. The translation, come and see. When the Holy One, blessed be He, executes judgment on the world, one the messenger performs it, but now during the overthrow of Sodom, we see two messengers. As it is written, and two angels came to Sodom. Is not one angel sufficient? And he replies, there indeed was only one. The scriptures mention two because one came to save Lot, while the other came to overthrow the city and destroy the land. Therefore, there was only one assigned to overthrow Lot, Sodom. My commentary. The Pasuk is clear as written with Rabbi Ashlag's comments. Why was it important to save Lot? Remember, the Mashiach comes through the daughters of Lot. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, we know that the other angel came because he had seen the Shekinah, and that saved his life. And what you just said about the Mashiach, I was thinking maybe he merited, because he did want to protect the angels, maybe that is what merited Ruth coming from his generation, future generations with Ruth. Maybe that one mitzvah was enough to merit that.
It could be. There's a whole bunch of levels of understanding here.
Mm-hmm.
Because Lot is the evil inclination vis-a-vis Abraham. And so earlier, when he is sent away and moves into Sodom, it's an indication that Abraham has expelled his evil inclination. But even when there is a righteous person, a tzaddik, as they grow spiritually, their evil inclination becomes stronger. So it's not like that. If your evil inclination dies, God, you know, literally, God forbid, does that mean that the person dies? And now we're talking about the physical manifestation of Abraham's evil inclination being Lot. So if Lot were to die, does that mean that Abraham would have died? And Abraham's work was not yet done because Isaac had not been born.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other idea that I wrote about, Lot is required to bring the future Mashiach. Because Satan won't agree to allow Ruth or to allow the coming of the Mashiach, King David, he won't allow that, all of that to come except through the incest between the daughters of Lot and Lot himself. And elsewhere, when we studied the reincarnation, there was the discussion about why certain souls, they have to come through parents or situations that are really impure. Obviously, incest is an impure action.
Well, only Hashem could work out all those details, you know.
No question. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't make the effort to try and understand it. But you're right, only Hashem could make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And on all these different levels, you know, would we be able to understand it?
Well, I can think of several instances where I almost died. And I think of the things that were, you know, going to happen in the future wouldn't have happened if that had happened. And I know my mom and daddy told me when I was about 5, my aunt lived next door, and we were all in her living area, and I don't know, somebody got a shotgun, and they shot the gun, and I had just, it went off accidentally, I think what it was, and I had just walked over to my dad, you know, and it was like 1 second before, and I would have been the one to get the bullet.
Well, we're very glad you didn't get that bullet.
No. Then another time I was in high school, and at that time doctors came to your house, and I really, my appendix had ruptured, but he didn't know that. But years later, when I was about 40 and had to have a surgery, and that's when the doctor discovered that it was a good thing I was doing that surgery, because I had had a bad appendix attack somewhere in my life, and it was about to rupture again. And so it was like another time of being saved from something that could have been, you know, really bad. So.
We all have different incidents in our lives that relate to all of this. So.
Mm-hmm. And all of those, you know, those things happened before I became Jewish. So, you know, you think, oh, gosh, I would have missed it. Well, I guess I've gotten reincarnated another generation.
Well, you know that reincarnation takes place when you go through the mikveh. We just don't call it reincarnation.
Oh, okay. I always thought that you became a new person. But you tell me no, that you just got an extra soul.
And isn't that the same thing? You become a new person because you have an additional soul.
Well, additional isn't to me the same as a new one. You know, in other words, all of your past is like washed away. That's what I took it to be.
And that is correct. The additional soul essentially cleanses you of all of your past.
Oh, well, okay. I didn't catch that. That's what I thought, but I thought your words changed it. So that's good.
So you're saying instead of replacement, it's additional.
You receive a neshama as opposed to the ruach and the nefesh that you have before you go through the mikvah.
Okay, but when you reincarnate, it's the same soul, right? Just going through a new body and a new experience.
You're trying to simplify it, Brandy.
Well,
when
I
you
do
when you reincarnate, you come in with a nefesh when you're born. And then when you reach the age of 13, you potentially receive the Ruach. And then when you reach the age of 20, you potentially receive the Neshama. Now, a Neshama, there's an argument from my reading, the Machloket for the Search of Truth, that the other nations do not have a complete neshama. They only receive the ruach and the nefesh. So if somebody converts, they're getting a brand new neshama, which is resting or utilizing the ruach in that person. So if you reincarnated when you weren't Jewish, you would have just had the nefesh and the ruach. If you reincarnate after you've returned to being Jewish, converted to being Jewish, then it wouldn't be the same nefesh. It would be the same ruach, because you only get the neshama when you've completed the tikkun of the ruach. But the nefesh can never be the original nefesh that was your soul in your first incarnation. That's why I'm saying you're trying to simplify it, because it's not a simple discussion.
Okay, I understand. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So, what happened?
I appreciated the extra.
Say again. You broke up.
I appreciated that extra. That it helped a lot.
The extra explanation or the extra soul that you received?
Both.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
So you can't, in other words, be converted without a mikvah. In other words, if someone says, "Oh, I converted," and they didn't go to a mikvah, did they actually not convert? I mean, it's not completed?
It wouldn't be recognized by any of the groups of Judaism that I'm aware of.
Okay.
Now, there may be one who does. You know, I've known people who tell me that they practice as a Jew, and they haven't gone through the mikvah. But they don't have a desire to go through the mikvah. They don't feel it's necessary. But it's to be recognized by the communities, the various communities. Everyone I know of requires a mikvah.
Okay. Thank you.
Now, to complicate it, there is the patrilineal descent that is recognized by certain communities of Jews. And in the patrilineal, you're Jewish if one of your parents is Jewish. Whereas in the other groups, the you're Jewish based on only the mother. So that's somewhat confusing. But if you were clearly not Jewish, both parents were not Jewish, and you had a hunger to become Jewish, it would require you to go through a mikvah.
Okay. Okay, I understand. Thank you.
You're welcome. We're out of time, so we'll be talking about the Ari this evening. I hope you'll join us for that class.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
Shalom Gadol.
Shalom Gadol.